It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Coming up in 2024, college football as we know it loses its identity. There just isn't any way around this. Next season, the comfortable regional geography of major college athletic conferences will be lost as some schools pursue more money for their own programs. Sure, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC will still retain the majority of teams from within the traditional geographic footprints of their conferences, but the Pac-12 conference will become the Pac-2, with only Oregon State and Washington State remaining in 2024. Those two West Coast schools have already begun discussions about a potential merger with the nearby Mountain West Conference. Good for them. The other Pac-10 schools in the conference will begin a rather illogical eastward migration beginning in 2024. The Big Ten Conference pilfered USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. The Big 12 Conference snagged Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah beginning next year. And even the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, got into the act. California and Stanford, on the West Coast, have just become America's second and third largest frequent flyer teams behind the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. These massive moves by these West Coast teams have made the SEC's sneaky minor westward migration into Oklahoma and Central Texas next year in 2024 seem much less noteworthy to geography buffs like me. Any semblance of common sense in major college athletics in America has nearly evaporated. With tens of millions of dollars being dangled in front of conferences by these eager television competitors to seize growing television ratings for college football games, the longtime cozy world of stable regional conferences is all but gone starting next season. And as we've often heard, there is no I in team. It's a true mad dash to snag the most dollars by the schools and now by the players too. The NCAA's transfer portal and the NIL has many top college football and other star players seeking investment advisors right now as this year comes to a close. Money does talk. Last week, UCLA head football coach Chip Kelly asked a question which many of us have been pondering for a long time. Why even have athletic conferences for most of the major college football teams anymore? He said, quote, "I think we should all be independent in football. You can have a 64-team conference that's in the Power Five, and you can have a 64-team conference in the Group of Five, and we can separate it and play each other." And now you're talking, Coach Kelly, that makes a lot more sense than what's happening right now. He added also, quote, "It's sad. The fact that there's not going to be a Pac-12 next year. The fact that Washington State is not going to be in a conference next year. The fact that Oregon State is not going to be in a conference next year. We failed." In reality, it was the Pacific time zone that actually killed the Pac-12 conference. The Pac-12 became the poster child for failure to capture enough money in today's rapidly accelerating world of big money television rights being paid to major college conferences. Last summer, the Pac-12 conference concluded about a year's worth of negotiations with anyone and everyone about their television rights. And the best offer ended up coming from internet-based Apple Television. It would require Pac-12 viewers to purchase a subscription to Apple TV to watch their games. There would be no over-the-air option like CBS, ABC, or Fox, nor a cable outlet like ESPN or CBS Sports Network. Each Pac-12 school would have received, though, about $22 million in this proposed deal. But unfortunately, that's about half of the annual value which the teams in other major conferences are currently receiving. And this value disparity is not due to America having an anti-West Coast bias, though, when it comes to televised sports. It's because that most of America is heading to bed when primetime football games are kicking off on the West Coast. While many college football fans might like to see a 7 p.m. Pacific time matchup of, let's say, Oregon versus UCLA on a Saturday, that game doesn't begin until 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 9 p.m. in Middle America's Central Time Zone. And by that time, more than half of the United States has steadfastly endured up to 3 straight college football games. A major case of football fatigue has settled in across much of the country ahead of Sunday's slate of NFL games, too. Now, the bottom line is that television advertisers get more bang for their bucks as the largest TV weekly audiences involve the teams located east of the Rockies. Any conference exclusively comprised of teams in the Western time zones is going to be at a huge competitive disadvantage when the television ratings are laid on the table for comparison. Fewer viewers equals a lower television contract offer. So when the Pac-12's proposed new television contract details were finally revealed this summer, the majority of the teams were very disappointed in that dollar value per team. At that point, 10 of the former dozen Pac-12 teams gave a goodbye notice to the Pac-12 conference this summer and inked new deals to leave for other conferences. Those 10 defectors will come out significantly ahead, at least on the revenue side. But did anyone consider how the student athletes might feel about this? I doubt that the labor portion of these 10 soon-to-be former Pac-12 conference schools was consulted about how they might have felt in making such a massive geographic move. Beginning in the fall of 2024, these school student athletes in every major sport are going to be forced to be jetted across America to play football or basketball or volleyball or baseball and other sports to earn money for their respective institution. This cannot be a very positive matter for recruiting at these 10 schools. For example, why would an elite high school athlete in, let's say, Oklahoma want to go sign with the University of Southern California and then be required to fly back and forth across the country to play teams in the Midwest and East Coast during football or basketball season? Why not just go sign with a top program in your region and play your sport closer to home?
Yes!
That's where this NIL money is going to creep in more and more. This past week, it was reported that the University of Georgia's quarterback, Carson Beck, has decided to return for his final year of eligibility in Athens, Georgia. Congratulations! But there have been unsubstantiated reports that Carson Beck's return to Georgia were made easier for him after the school put together an NIL package valued at more than $4 million for the next year.
Woo!
Here's the math on that. If Carson Beck had been eligible for the NFL draft in 2023 this past spring, his new $4 million NIL deal would equate to the same annual pay as that was given to the number 16 overall pick in last season's pro football draft. So it makes sense to me that these 10 West Coast schools are going to need to step up that monetary support for recruits if they expect them to fly back and forth across the country so often beginning in 2024. The student athletes are going to demand more of that monetary pie. However, even the NFL and other major sports have tried to keep geography in mind when they align their teams. Why is college football creating a nonsensical geographic landscape for their athletics? And everybody can sing along with the answer.
Money.
And speaking of money, another thing which UCLA football coach Chip Kelly mentioned last week was paying the players in college football. He suggested a revenue sharing model between the schools and the players. He said, quote, "The players should get paid, and you could get rid of the NIL and the schools should be paying the players because the players are what the product is," said Coach Kelly. "And the fact that they don't get paid is really the biggest travesty." Personally, I don't share that travesty part with you, Coach Kelly. Most student athletes, especially in football, have been provided with a scholarship covering up to 100% of the cost of tuition, room, and board. And depending on the school, that cost is substantial. One source indicated the total cost of attendance in 2023 for tuition, room, and meals is now about $28,000 per year for a public university and up to $57,000 on average for private schools. If Coach Kelly's idea to pay all college football athletes becomes a reality, then the cost of attending that institution should be factored into the total compensation being paid to each student athlete. But then there's the television angle to his idea. The current major conferences have all signed long-term contracts with ESPN and CBS, Fox, NBC, and others for the next decade. The parties have made massive financial commitments to one another. So it would take a colossal negotiation between all of the parties. That means the 133 FBS schools, the soon-to-be-dissolved major conferences, and the primary television networks to work out an agreeable arrangement for each party. No one said this is going to be easy, but let's have some fun and put our thinking caps on for a minute. The financial outlays surrounding each of those current television deals could theoretically be pooled together and determine a financial value for the whole. Now, each contributing television network would then receive, let's say, a certain number of teams, let's call them future draft picks, based on their proportionate value of the overall television deals. So for sake of discussion, let's say that ESPN receives 35% of the teams, Fox gets 30%, CBS 20%, and NBC 15%. Now, with 64 major teams to be selected, that would equate to ESPN receiving 22 ping pong balls in the proverbial hopper, Fox with 19, CBS 13, and NBC have 10. Then we could hold a draft lottery to determine the order of selection by each television partner for those 64 teams in the upper football division. Picture those 64 balls flying around in the air in the hopper with the names ESPN, CBS, Fox, and NBC plastered on them. Can you imagine the drama surrounding this event? As each ball is randomly selected, the television partner is allowed 1 minute to announce the college football team that they want to cover for the next X number of years. That first ball comes out randomly, and let's say CBS has just won the first pick. They must quickly select a college football team to televise all of their home football games for the next certain number of years. With the first pick for home games in the new upper division television rights pool, CBS has selected the University of Alabama. And then this would continue for the other 63 selections in the upper division. You talk about must-see TV. Go ahead and laugh if you will, but is this any worse than the current college athletics landscape? So coming up tomorrow, I'm going to utilize Coach Chip Kelly's concept and create two major college football conferences for the upper division of college football. I think you're going to like this, but several college football teams in major conferences are not. Come back and see us next time.